time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Casper here. How is it going, everybody? It's another week. And guess what it is? The last show in August, and that means one more month. Well, one more week of shows, summer shows, because September, forget it. I know it's still the summer technically, but no way. It's fall season. And we're excited about that. We do, in this show, take one more appropriate look at summer through the eyes of Tom King, Nashua Telegraph. You know he's chock full of insights on what went on in southern New Hampshire, Nashua, in his area in particular. I know the Merrimack Valley cares about what goes on in southern New Hampshire because it's basically the same neighborhood. So we're going to have that after the break. And then after that, we'll just like do a little quick, hey, what's going on? Because we'll do a little quick preview of some exciting things happening in the early fall season here for high school sports. So this is the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSONewsSports.com. We're here every week. Stay with us for Tom King, Nashua Telegraph.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dominic Castro here with our, geez, I think it's four times a year guest now. We cover all the seasons. Tom King, sports writer, Nashua Telegraph. What's going on, Tom?
Well, Dom, it's that time of year where all of a sudden you're starting to realize that schools are starting and teams are starting to play, and the summer is O-V-A-H, OVA.
OVA.
You know, and that's a sad time. It really is. There's only one month out of the year where there's no high school stuff at all, and that's July.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Tom, before this show, we press record button. We have a new development. Like, you're now talking to the longtime beat writer of Mount Auburn football right now, Dominic Castro.
There you go. There you go. That's right.
You come to Manchester, you come to Manch Vegas, you have a chance to get Nicastro stamp on your team. So there you go.
There you go. That's exactly what we need. You know? So, but I'm telling you, it sneaks up on.
It does.
You know, it really does. You know, the reason it does is the high school season's here for the non-football sports start before Labor Day.
Yep.
So, in other words, later this week, and, you know, August 29th, August 30th, there are soccer and field hockey games that are going to be played that count. You know,
that's right.
They're not scrimmages. Now, football is still scrimmaging. Labor Day is early this year, so the season will open up on the 6th, Friday the 6th for football.
Yeah.
And we'll have that weekend we come out with our big preview section that we'll have information on all the local teams in the Nashville area. But
beautiful.
It's, you know, last year the first football game that counted was September 1, Friday, September 1. I mean, they don't waste time up here in New Hampshire. You know, they start early.
They get going and you don't have to deal with the scheduling monstrosity that is Thanksgiving, like Massachusetts has to. They have to get that weird Thanksgiving game in before the December Saturday Super Bowl.
Right, exactly. And then but here in New Hampshire, that because they added a week of playoffs, they extend the season, and Thanksgiving weekend is the weekend of the championship games for Division One.
Yeah.
For Division One. So that, you know, we haven't had a team in the championship game, title game in Division One in 5 years. So that's and I don't really count on that. I don't know if we have contenders this year or not. I don't think for that level you never know once they start playing.
Yeah.
So usually before Thanksgiving, the season is over that weekend of November, like 20th or 21st. But now in the last couple of years, it's extended because of the extension of the playoffs and the dates where Thanksgiving falls, all of that, you know, it all, because Thanksgiving is also late this year. So it'll be interesting to see. It all starts and temperatures at night are getting into the 50s, and next week they're going to get into the 40s at night. So
yeah,
it's an early fall, and high schools start, they're going to school this week.
That's right.
At some point, you know, and that's too early for me, Dom. I'm a post Labor Day guy, you know. Let's wait till Labor Day comes.
Nice and clean, yeah. I think they're probably thinking like, oh, let's account for some of these snow days and get this week of August in under our belt. We're not gonna do anything anyway.
That's it. Now snow days, if it's 2 inches of snow, they close the school down. So that's because right. of the L word, the liability word. So that's the way it is.
Anticipation,
right, exactly. And you wake up in the morning. It's bare concrete. You're like, what happened?
We didn't know. We went to sleep not knowing when we were going to school, Tom. We went to sleep not knowing if it was going to be school or not. And our mothers and fathers would wake us up, and that's how we know.
Right. Remember that?
Like, no, yeah, those days. No, Mom. No, it's a blizzard. Like, no, it's not. It didn't snow. They were wrong. Get up.
Right. I used to wake up and listen to the radio in Albany, New York.
What was your school name?
Christian Brothers Academy.
Christian Brothers CBA. Academy. So did they come across on the ticker?
No. Don't forget, this is back 40 years ago. There was no ticker. All right. So you're listening to a transistor radio.
Jesus.
And you're listening to this is 1970s, and you're listening to the morning news on radio, local radio, and you're waiting for this one sentence. All public and parochial schools in the city of Albany are closed today. You heard that and you were like, woohoo.
You were get back to bed.
Exactly. I stayed in bed. You know, that's it. So.
Or put on the Atari.
Yeah.
A Nintendo for me.
No, I never did video games as a kid. I'm not a video game guy.
That's amazing that you're that old, Tom, that you weren't even the ticker on the news channels didn't even start yet.
Didn't even start. No, did not even start. Cable was just coming into form.
Yeah. For me, it was the ticker, and it was, Georgetown. Gloucester.
Yes, you watch the alphabetical. Now, I watch it now sometimes, you know, to see, but usually on Twitter, the national school systems will post something that night or early that next morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't see anything that night, then that means that they still haven't decided and they'll decide first thing in the morning.
And that affects your job because you don't have to go cover a game.
That's just it. See, because when they shut the schools down, the rule is you don't play.
Yeah. You're all having an early night tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you look for in the wintertime. So, but all that starts, there aren't going to be many early nights after this week because it all starts, you know, and Now, I miss the season openers, Dom. I missed a couple of season openers in soccer and field hockey towards the end of the week, because I usually take, because after doing all the work for the football preview section and then getting those previews done for some of the other sports, I usually take the second half of this week off. And this week it leads into Labor Day, so I got myself a little bit of a 6-day weekend coming up, so I'll take advantage of that.
And then
it all starts. Then full roundups, full high school roundups, everything else. So, you know, I got my roundup guy on alert this weekend, Thursday and Friday. He said he'll work. So
those phones, text messages, emails, throw them all.
No phones, all text, all email. Beautiful. If somebody needs to call me, they can, but usually now I remember, you know, even when I worked off site, which I still do, but when I worked out of the newsroom, I'd have to go in to do, you know, to answer the phones for a couple of nights a week for high schools. Nobody calls anymore. It's all electronic. So, which is great. You know, they can text two sentences on their smartphone and two sentences and get. And it's done, you know.
Or their Twitter. Sometimes they give enough information on their tweet, on their handles.
I look at some of the team's Twitter accounts, too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's give the quick summer 2024 recap for Nashua and Greater Nashua. What are your top moments or top moment? What would it be?
Oh, boy. I think the top moment actually, it's on the professional level, if you don't mind. It would be... The end
pitcher?
Of the, it would be two weeks ago, Mickey Gasper, a Merrimack High School alum, got called up to the Red Sox.
Yes.
And is still there. I believe he will be there the rest of the season. They like his versatility, the fact that he could switch hit, also the fact that he can play multiple positions. And the irony is, that was one of the things that held him back with the Yankees, was he wasn't, you know, he's a catcher by trade, but he hadn't, I don't know if the major leagues feel he's a major, I don't know if they think he's a major league catcher or not. He's not bad, but he's always had some issues here or there at the catching position. So he's branched out to first base. He played some second, and he played second for the Red Sox. He started, made his first major league start on Saturday. He went 0-for-4, unfortunately, and struck out three times, but first major league start. So it was a big day for him. And, those big days will, you know, now next is be a first major league hit the whole bit, but Alex Cora, the manager, has been adamant that this is a guy we want to keep because he can do a few things and it's what we need right now. That's what he said. So,
yeah. A few walks in his at bats. It was like 7 at bats.
He is the best 2-strike hitter, Dom, that I have ever seen at any level. The best. He's got a great eye and doesn't panic when he's down. You know how hitters panic, they're down 0-2 and they'll swing at anything or they'll just let pitches go by.
Yeah.
So he struck out. If you'd surprised me, he struck out 3 times on Saturday, but a couple of those calls, one was an inside corner pitch that I didn't think it was a strike. And I don't think Mickey did either. The other was a check swing. And I thought he checked his swing, and so did the Nesson team. But he was called out there. The other out, the other non-strikeout out, was a line drive opposite way to left field, and it was caught. So he'll get there. He has not looked overmatched at the plate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, 276 minor league hitters in 6 seasons.
He was hitting over 400 at Worcester. They had to call him up. What are you going to do? You know, but you've got to watch what the organization is doing. They called their threesome studs from Portland up to Worcester soon after they promoted Mickey.
Yeah.
And that one was a second baseman. And one was a catcher. So if they dropped him back to Worcester to get him more playing time, because he's not playing that much at the bigs, if they dropped him back to Worcester, the odds are where are they going to put him? So, that's what's going on there. So my guess is, the rosters don't expand like they used to. They only expand by 2 or 3 players. So, but my guess is the Red Sox will keep him where he is, and that's with the big club. And congratulations to him. You know, I lost your video. I don't know if you're still there. So
that's okay. No one cares about my face. I'm back. But who's I was going to ask you, Tom? Who is, you know, before him? Who's kind of like the most recent notable Southern New Hampshire product, or just your area product that made the bigs?
Oh boy, that made the bigs. There was a pitcher from Nashua North that made the bigs a few years ago, several years ago, and he didn't last. He was with the Mets organization, that's been about that's the last one that I can remember.
From
my area. So
so pretty notable, you know.
It's notable for him to make it. Now he doesn't live. He's not, the family moved to New Jersey. He's not around here anymore. So they keep calling him a New Hampshire native. If my knowledge is correct, he grew up in New Jersey and they moved here.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, unless he was born in New Hampshire and moved to New Jersey and then came back here. I'm not sure which it is. I've got to look it up. But he spent most of his time growing up in New Jersey, and he was a Yankee fan. And the Yankees had him. He was in the Yankee system.
Yeah.
He was a Rule 5 pickup by the Red Sox, but not the Major League Rule 5, the minor league Rule 5 that does not have the restrictions of having to put him on the Major League roster right away. And if he doesn't last, you got to give him back. That's not the case.
Yeah.
So that was the minor league Rule 5. Was anybody not on the 40 man is available, and they in the minors, and they grabbed him. The Red Sox took him, it's made for the best. He was in Portland to start the year, got out of there. He was hitting 280 there, and then they promoted him to Worcester, and at Worcester he hit 400 in I think it was like 60 games, 40 games.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was at bat like 25 times. He was at bat for enough.
That's impressive pace. Yeah. And that many at bats. And Tom, I'm seeing and I'm guessing that these kids were not necessarily Nashua natives or Nashua school kids, but the Silver Knights also announced that there's four of those players that were drafted.
And he's a former Silver Knight.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So, he played for the Silver Knights in 2016. He was the league MVP.
Nice.
One of the memorable games was in the finals, game one against Worcester in 2016. Nash was down two runs, I believe 5-3, and Mickey's at the plate and he goes 0-2, and you're saying, okay, one strike away, this game's over with. Well, he worked a walk down 0-2 because of that ability that he has with two strikes. He works a walk. And then the hitter next to him, behind the hitter behind him, hits a two-run bomb to tie the game and send it to extra innings, and Nashville won it in extra innings.
Yeah.
So that's one of the most memorable at-bats in Silver Knight history was him working that walk.
Yeah.
A lot of people forget about it.
Yeah.
But, he was the MVP of the league. He ended up playing on the Cape. He went to Bryant in college, and he was drafted in 2018 in the 27th round, if I'm not mistaken, by the New York Yankees. And for him, that was a dream come true.
Yeah, also the 817th pick and all the way to Fenway. It's amazing the journeys that these kids go on.
28 years old.
Yeah, the Silver Knights had some good news, too. I mean, it looks like Connor Hushjack, how you pronounce his last name? Connor Hushjack.
Connor Hushjack. Let me tell you a story about Connor Hushjack.
Yeah.
His family lives in Goffstown. He went to Goffstown High School, okay? Not our area. But his father is a Nashua alum, the one Nashua high school in the 70s, late 70s, in the early 80s. Mid to late 80s, mid 80s, mid 1980s. Yeah. Went to Iowa on a scholarship. Guess what position?
DH?
Punter. Football player.
Oh, football. Punter. Oh, he went to football. Okay,
Sorry, I didn't say it was football, Scott. Yep. Punter.
Yeah.
Yep. Jimmy Isaac. And he's got two kids. And one of, Connor is drafted. And then he's got another son who's very good as well. The Silver Knights had a player drafted and signed this summer. That's never happened before, I don't think, where they've had somebody, or recently anyway, where they've had a player drafted that who decided he was going to sign, and that was Owen Carey, their first baseman out of Londonderry. Great left-handed power hitter. He had a bomb this summer that I think is still going somewhere. and he was drafted and signed with the Atlanta Braves. So he's in the Braves system. He's in the Braves system right now.
That's right. Yeah.
So they had a down year, Dom. They're my primary summer beat, the Silver Knights. They finished 27-29 and had a chance to actually. They didn't really have a chance. They were on the outs, on the fringe in a playoff race, but they really kind of tailed off. But the thing is they never made it to 500 all year.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a down summer for them in terms of that. This was the most talented team that I'd seen not make the playoffs for them. And it's the first year that they did not make the playoffs in back-to-back years. First time in franchise history. And we're talking 13 seasons. So they finished 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. And you know, top four out of eight make the tournament. And Norwich ended up successfully defending their title in the FCBL. But the key was manager Kyle Jackson. He'd been the pitching coach for 6 seasons and the manager for 5, and he stepped away. He resigned, and he didn't resign under duress or pressure. He's got 2 little kids and he wanted to spend some more time with them, and felt that it was, you know, he felt that it was time. He, you know, he was back and forth on it for about a month. And then, the Monday after the season ended, he walked into general manager Cam Cook's office and said, I'm done. Hanging it up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, lots of news coming out of Nashua.
I'll tell you what, it was such a busy week. Not last week, but I had to do all the work for the football section. The week before, before practices even started, we had breaking news right and left. We had a Bishop Gurdon girls soccer coach stepped aside to give his assistant the job, and he would be an assistant instead. So they switched roles. That started the day on Monday. Then Mickey Gasper later in the day gets called up, and then I think Judon got traded, and then it was Kyle Jackson quitting. It was like a plethora of breaking news for 3 or 4 days straight. Local that affected, you know, the job, you know, locally, and a lot of it was local. So it was a very busy week, 2 weeks ago today, starting today. It's been nonstop ever since.
Yeah. You'll take it. So, all right. Well, if that's your summer recap, great.
There's one more.
Go ahead, please.
Legion ball, Nashville Legion made it to the finals of the seniors tournament. They lost to Portsmouth. Portsmouth went on to play in the regionals. They lost in the regionals. The regionals were actually right near you. They were in Gill Stadium in Manchester.
I saw that. August.
Hudson Mass won it. And they went to the World Series. I don't know how they did. They didn't win it, but they didn't win the World Series, but I don't know how they did. But here's the little item from the Nashville Legion season with Portsmouth. They lost to Portsmouth earlier in the tournament. And then they lost to them in the finals as they fought their way out of the loser's bracket. So that's 2 losses to Portsmouth. They lost to Portsmouth in the regular season 4 times. They lost to Portsmouth 0-6 against Portsmouth.
Wow.
I've never seen a team beat another team 6 times in 1 year at that level.
Oh, man.
Never seen that before.
That's usually one of those where you see like, oh, they swept us in the regular season, but we got them in the game that counts, right? Like,
it's usually
that happens.
Nope, did not happen. And some of the games were blowouts, and some of the games were one-run games.
Yeah.
So Nashville made it to the Legion Finals, but did not win it. So Portsmouth goes on to win it. And that's basically, you know, it was a quiet, you know, quiet local summer. No, we didn't have any local winners in golf in the state am or anything like that. So around here, it was you know, it was a lot of baseball and not much else. So that was our summer.
Your neighbors to the east had a little significant run in the Little League Williamsport tournament, Salem, New Hampshire.
Salem, New Hampshire, yep.
You know, winning the New England's and getting in there, but going 0-2.
Right.
They looked like they reached a little hitting slump there. They couldn't get the key hits, and but nonetheless, a nice little run for our little New Hampshire friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little, once you get into the situation where you're playing against some of those teams from warm weather states, they play baseball 12 months out of the year. You're kind of having a tough time.
And if you ever needed a reminder that this is Little League and not the major leagues, go to the very last play of the Little League season that won Florida the tournament. Did you see that?
Yeah, when they threw the ball around, right? Taiwan threw the ball around. Yeah, yeah. I didn't see the play, but I read it. You know, I had edited it on AP and posted on the Telegraph website.
Yeah.
But I'll have to take a look, and I'll have to look through Twitter and see
bunt.
If I can find that play.
It was a
bunt. Yeah, it was a bunt, right?
And
right.
First baseman came in, the pitcher grabbed it. He didn't even look kind of at the bag. He just fired and turned and threw to nobody, the poor kid. At first base, it went way into the outfield. And
that's it. Game over. World Series over.
That's how most Little League games end.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. That's it. You know, although you watch these kids, they don't look like Little Leaguers, do they, a lot of them?
No, it's just the right time to get them out of there because they're getting to that point where they're dangerous on the field. They're too big for the field.
Right.
So they age him out at just the right time, but
I guarantee you, in 3 years, if you read a preview story for the season on Salem High School baseball, the coach will tell you we got 3 or 4 kids on the team that was played in the Little League World Series, and that's, believe me, they are watching those kids and going to try to make sure they stay in the Salem system. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, 100%. You think, oh, they're going to be great when they're in high school. It doesn't necessarily work that way, but it's nice to at least get a few of them, you know, on the roster.
It usually tends to follow, you know, follows if there's a youth team that's had great success, usually in 2 or 3 years, if they stay together, they usually are going to be good in high school or contenders, not, you know, they may not be lights out champions. It all depends. I mean, that's 3 or 4 years down the road. By the time that happens, maybe I won't be doing this anymore. You never know, right? So,
Tom King, Nashville Telegraph. Let's spend our last 5 minutes giving a quick preview of the fall and things we'll be chatting about around Thanksgiving, early December when we do our wrap up.
Well, I tell you, in football, high school football, locally around, I mean, in high school football statewide, it's the usual suspects. Bedford, Pinkerton, Londonderry has as many as they had 30 some odd juniors on their roster last year. So that tells me they're going to be pretty good. They got 30 plus seniors, you know, if they all, you know, attrition, you never know, but they should be very strong. Pinkerton's strong. The bigger schools, Bedford's strong. I believe Exeter will come out of the Seacoast as the best team. Bedford is in the conference where Nashua, North, South, Merrimack are. I believe Bedford will probably be the best team in the conference. The team that should take the next step around this area may be Bishop Gurdon's got, they have a lot of youth, should be Nashua South. They started a ton of sophomores last year. And even freshmen, due to injuries, had to come in and play a lot last year. They should be better. Now, the thing is, okay, you're always looking in football with sophomores and freshmen as inexperience. But you also have to look at the physical factor. They're not physically as big as some of the upperclassmen that they're playing against.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. So according to, you know, Scott Knight, the head coach, they've gotten bigger. They've gotten stronger. They should be able to compete better. My guess is I would say South isn't a dark horse to win at all, but they're a dark horse to make one of those. One of those 10 teams in Division One that qualify for the first round. 3 conferences, 3 champions, then the next 10 will qualify for the first round while the conference champs get a bye, and then they have their quarterfinals. In Division Three, there's a lot of remaking in Division Three. They've added teams, so now they go to a conference setup, an extra week of playoff setup. But They will probably, Trinity, the defending champion, moved up to Division Two. At least Campbell is basically the power there. And that's in Litchfield. That's one of my area schools. They've been to the title. They won the title 2 years ago playing their game, Rock'em Sock'em football against Trinity. Last year, they lost to Trinity. Trinity played its game, which was finesse and speed. So now Trinity's gone, and Campbell hopes to make it back to their third straight title game. I think that they will win their second title in the last 3 years this year. I think they should win in Division Three. In Division Two, Sal Egan had a quarterback, Romy Jane, who was a junior. He threw 91 touchdown passes last year. 91. All right. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, over the last two years. I was like, Tom,
But they also had a running back that gained 400 yards in a game. They had a running back that gained 400 yards in a game.
I remember we talked about that last fall. Yeah.
Right. JJ Bright. They're both gone. Romy went to prep school. JJ graduated. He's going to prep school, but he also graduated. So now they're trying to rebuild. They'll be the best Division II team in the area. So soccer, Nashville North made it to the semis last year. Nashville South, two-time defending champion. They lost in the quarterfinals to Bedford. They played Bedford Friday in the season opener. Thursday, I'm sorry, August 29th in the season opener. Nashville North hopes to get back there. They had some seniors that were pretty good last year. They hope to get back to... They were a dark horse. They were a lower seeded team that had to win two rounds on the road before they were able to play in the semifinals. So they hope to get back to the semis this year. Hollis Brookline girls, they had a undefeated championship season in Division Two, and I see no reason why they won't be able to repeat in Division Two. They only lost, I think, two or three seniors. They should be very, very good in soccer. Field hockey, Sauhegan in Division Two looks to be a title team. Their coach is very confident that this could be their year. Their chief competition lost everybody. John Stark, they all graduated. The coach left, the whole bit. So it's a whole new deal. They may be the last team standing in Division Two. So, that's a little sneak preview of what we got in New Hampshire coming up in the fall. It's going to be a busy one.
Good luck in the battlefield, Tom. We'll be in touch. Dom DeCastro, beat writer, Alvern football, baby.
There you go, baby. Alvern Central. Dom will be there Friday, September 6th, 6:30. Get that telegraph byline.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Making my debut, baby. New Hampshire journalism at its finest. I am ready to go.
I love it. I love it.
Tom King, Nashville Telegraph. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you around Thanksgiving, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Dom.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, that was Tom King. Thank you, Tom. Nashua Telegraph, always fun to catch up. And let's go a little south, shall we, to Massachusetts and the Merrimack Valley, particularly the Merrimack Valley Conference for our little Merrimack Valley fall sports report. What's going on this week? So we got Thursday, August 29th is today. You got some golf varsity matches going on. Billerica and Tewksbury, 3:30 at Billerica Country Club. You've got field hockey. It's a varsity MVC play day. Looks like at Lowell High School. So it's a fun little event. No, I think it's Methuen versus Lowell at Nicholson Stadium, Methuen. So that's fun. Let's see, some scrimmages mostly. Looking at scrimmages on Friday, a lot of scrimmages on. There's a volleyball girls varsity play day, Billerica versus the TBD at Billerica on Saturday morning. So volleyball's having those first kind of moments there. Soccer boys varsity game looks like the first one might be Marblehead versus Andover in a non-leaguer at Marblehead High School, Labor Day at 4:30. And then the day after Labor Day, really things kick in. You got Central Catholic, St. Mary's in a golf varsity game. St. Mary's of Lynn, that is, at Atkinson Country Club. Soccer, boys varsity, September 3rd. St. John's Central Catholic, that's a big game. Girls varsity, North Andover and Beverly, two big programs there as well. Tewksbury in girls soccer takes on Westford Academy at Tewksbury. So things really ramp up Tuesday, September 3rd and on. You know, football-wise, still some scrimmages Friday, September 6th. And we do a varsity game, Lawrence against Lynn English at Lawrence High School in a non-leaguer at 6 o'clock. Lynn English plays in the Greater Boston League now, formerly the Northeastern Conference they used to play in. Another varsity game on Friday night next week. Methuen, we'll have a lot of previews in next week's show, the September 5th show. Methuen and Lincoln Sudbury at Nicholson Stadium. Andover Pinkerton Academy of New Hampshire will be 7 o'clock at Friday, September 6th. That's going to be a lot of fun. And let's see, football on Saturday, September 7th to look forward to. Nothing. So a lot of Friday night action there in the beginning, the first week of the school year there for many. Some of them start in August as well. But it's going to be a lot of fun. So Merrimack Valley Sports Desk is in the books for the last show in August. Looking forward to September and then some. Hopefully everyone enjoys the nice long Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next week.